Hello, 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 and welcome to the Altwork podcast, where we explore the new frontiers of work and challenge everything you thought you knew about your career, business, and the world of work. I am Victoria Reles.
And I'm Saqib Rasool.
And today we'll be talking about the antidote for imposter syndrome, how to have confidence at work and not feel like a fake. Now, imposter syndrome is something that a lot of people experience, including some of our own clients. And it is ultimately a feeling that soon everyone is going to find out how stupid I really am. It's a condition where someone has an underlying feeling of inadequacy and fraudulence, regardless of what they achieve or how much they prepare. It was originally called the imposter phenomenon by Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes, who researched it in the 70s after experiencing it themselves. And it can be a very debilitating phenomenon that inhibits you from taking risks and moving up in your career, and can also lead to burnout and feeling isolated. So to help with this, Saqib and I thought it would be a good idea to dedicate a whole episode on this topic and offer an alternative perspective to this conversation. So, Saqib, let's see. The first question for you is, what do you think leads to imposter syndrome?
Okay. What leads to imposter syndrome? I think before we take this question on, what leads to imposter syndrome, let's first of all investigate a little bit what is going on when people say they have an imposter syndrome. What I don't like about the word syndrome, that first people take it like it's some kind of like a psychological illness or something of that sort. And that doesn't help us. That make it like an individual problem, that as if there is something wrong with the psyche of the individual that needs to be fixed. So first thing, I invite us to set aside that psychological interpretation and let's look at ontologically, meaning that what is the way of being? What's really going on when people say they're having imposter syndrome? So if we look at it from practical perspective, from realist perspective, when somebody say they have an imposter syndrome, they essentially are reporting not having confidence in spite of having had some preparation about the matter.
Right.
So this is opposite to arrogance, which is having the confidence but no preparation. And here you have the challenge where you have the preparation, but you're not having confidence.
Right.
Now that we established that, now we can begin to prepare. We can begin to prepare ourselves to look more carefully about what's going on with confidence and what's going on with preparation, whether there is preparation or no preparation, what's happening with confidence. Does it relate to some past measures of standards of performance or something like this? Or is there actually something missing that needs to be brought up? At the end of the day, the imposter syndrome is like an assessment of a kind. You have an opinion that has gotten stuck with you. It's not like a conscious opinion that you're making. It's an opinion about yourself and your readiness that lives in your body. So when we look at it that way, now we can begin to ground this opinion. We can begin to say what parts of this opinion are relevant, which stories were made up maybe in a different environment, and now the game has changed. So let me stop here a little bit. Is this does this begin to shine some light on the what we call imposter, the phenomena? Or originally it was called the imposter phenomena. Now it's called the syndrome,
which the original psychologists don't like because, as you said, it's not a syndrome, but a phenomena. But no, I like the way that you are like defining this. And so to go further into this, I guess my question for you would be now, what are some of these assessments? Like if someone is prepared for something but still feels like doubtful about themselves and just like a fraud, what are some of the assessments? If we're going to like ground these assessments further, what could be some of these assessments that people have?
Right. You know, people get very tripped up in the, first of all, in the causality, that what causes it, as if the these kind of things have clear causes and they're individual. So a lot of the psychological advice that you read, and remember, the imposter syndrome was created by the two psychologists.
Right, yeah.
Clance and Iams were the two women in the 70s. They got new jobs and they were well prepared for the jobs. But even after getting the jobs and being well prepared for their professions, they still reported having the feeling as if they don't belong there. They are not prepared enough. They're not good enough.
Mm.
So this game is not, first of all, a solo individualistic game. This is a social game. What we're talking about are the standards of performance, whether the standard of performance that you have set up for yourself, and then we can investigate, maybe you have set up standards of performance for yourself when you're really young. You know, you do something and your parents are never satisfied and they tell you, no, you're not good enough. You need to do some more stuff. So you set up the standard of performance that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe no matter how hard I try, right, I will never accomplish this.
Yeah.
So for some people, that's what's going on. For some people, maybe parents and your teachers and everybody thought you were super smart, you know, in positive psychology kind of a game. And then you meet the market and you come out and you realize that you were not as good as you thought. So there's some injury to confidence. So we have to investigate, what is this injury to confidence and what opinion you have about yourself? The problem is, Victoria, that we don't take our opinions as opinions.
Right.
We take our opinions as facts. We come up with an opinion, or rather our body generates an opinion. And since it comes up automatically from within inside, we think that must be the truth. So the first place I think beginning to investigate is that what opinion you have about yourself in the game. Are you, is this something that you have experienced repeatedly in your school, in other jobs, that you're constantly have this assessment, constantly have this, and this assessment, it shows up like a feeling, feeling of some anxiety, feeling of some fear, feeling of looking bad, feeling of looking like an idiot and people laughing at you or being found out that you're going to be fraudulent. What is that assessment?
Right.
How does that exist for you? What is the earliest time you came up with that assessment and begin to ground it? Is that assessment grounded in facticity? Or maybe the facticity that it's grounded in, it belonged to a different environment. It belonged to a different time. It belonged to a different situation. And perhaps in another situation, you were not prepared. And right, perhaps if you have done the job to prepare yourself for the thing, then begin to take responsibility that maybe what your feelings are informing you, it's not so. And that you are actually well prepared. So as you engage in the game, in any profession, any work, any job, as you engage in the game and you have small successes, starting with small steps, will definitely begin to rebuild the confidence that has been damaged, that shows up like this psychological assessment called imposter syndrome. How's that?
This is very good. I love this a lot because what you're offering is a process for grounding ultimately what is an assessment about confidence and preparation and standards, right? So a lot comes to mind. I think two things come to mind. Number one is, what is the correlation between imposter syndrome and confidence? Imposter syndrome really about just like whether you feel confident or not, no matter how prepared you are? And then another idea that comes to mind is, have you dealt with imposter syndrome and how have you grounded your assessment, or if not, or if you have had a client, who have you helped with this, and how did you help that client.
I guess now that I think about it, it did show up for me personally at many times, but I've tried my best not to put a label on the feeling that I'm having, especially when I'm committing to something that's that I have not done before. I'm committing to something that is bigger than me, right? The promises that are really worth making are the promises that you don't know if you're going to be able to fulfill them right away at the moment you're making them. If you're only making promises that you obviously know how to fulfill them, you're not taking any risks. You're playing safe. If you're someone who is doing important things, who is making promises that you could be at risk, in some moments there could be a feeling that comes up that says that, you know, maybe I don't know as much as I do. And actually, what really happened, you asked the question, and I'm thinking, when I launched the Power Course in 2020, I repeatedly felt every time I was gonna go in front of the group that we had gathered, I get this feeling that, oh God, I'm gonna look so stupid. I'm not gonna look good. So what I learned in that moment, that imposter syndrome had to do with too much preoccupation with your identity. And we all can be occupied. It's not some people. We're all very concerned with our identity. How do we look? How are we perceived? And so on and so forth.
Right.
And when the societal standards for looking good have gone so high, people look so fancy and people look so sophisticated and everybody seems to know what they're doing. And we don't see behind the scenes about what preparation they may have gone through or what feelings of not being good enough other people have. We don't see that. We only see our own feeling that I'm feeling in the moment, that maybe my identity is at risk. And partly what comes with risk, it's some anxiety about being in a difficult situation, being found out and not having confidence in your preparation. When you're having something like this, now in that moment, I knew that I was fully prepared. I had been studying certain branch of philosophy for a long time before it, and I'd helped hundreds of people before starting formally this work. But in the moment I started it formally, little voice began to go, well, you don't have PhD. You haven't read Wittgenstein or Heidegger as carefully, or you haven't done blah, blah, blah. And in that moment, I found about myself, maybe it's useful for others, that what I had lost was my focus on the concern of others, that my care for others, the people I was going to help with careers, they would be stuck if I did not show up. They would not have a remedy. They would not have a relief. And too much concern with your identity, you're looking good, your confidence, how do you feel? Maybe you're not comfortable doing a certain job. You haven't done it before. For example, if you haven't done push-ups before and you start to do push-ups, it's going to be hard. So perhaps the initial difficulty that shows up when people are engaging in important missions, that difficulty then informs the feeling that, oh, maybe I'm not ready for it. Maybe I'm not prepared for it. And in that moment, we forget that it's not about us. It's about the care for others for the sake of which we engage. Maybe we engage anyways. Maybe at first, we don't look good. Maybe we look like an idiot. Anyone who wants to live an entrepreneurial life have to develop some capacity to be okay with looking like an idiot. And at first, when I was not okay with it, I did them anyways, but a great deal of anxiety began to show up in some moments. I don't want to show up to the call. The voice continues to get louder and louder that you're not good enough. You're not ready enough. You haven't done your job. The way to turn that around, like the title we said, Antidote, The antidote to the imposter syndrome is the care we bring to others in the moment, and not so much our overconcern with our identity and whether we look good or not.
Right. I was about to ask you, is this the antidote? Because it sounds like it. But,
Yeah, I mean, the imposter syndrome is not something that's like a clear psychological illness. You know, we are fascinated with the business of trying to make clear syndromes, and then we can have a clear causality that what caused it, and then we can have a clear solution. We first have to leave this business on the side a little bit, that perhaps what we are calling imposter syndrome, if so many people, and you asked about the clients, so many of the, especially young people, and also especially many women that I coach, begin to report that, hey, I have an imposter syndrome. And the moment they say it, it becomes like, well, I have a flu and there is nothing much I can do about it, or I have an imposter syndrome. So I invite them to slow down with labels, with characterizations. What's going on is some kind of a widespread societal phenomena. Confidence of one's person is also not an isolated phenomena. The standards that we set for ourselves, maybe we have set up too high of a standards that I will only be perfect when I know the whole thing, when I have conquered and nailed the domain, when I'm definitely number one, then I will feel myself ready. All of that has to do with small self. Right. If we let go the interpretation that something is wrong with small self, we can look at the society a little bit in which we are engaged. We can look at the disclosive space in which we are fully engaged, and see that what is going on there. Maybe there are some standards of performance that have been set up that are exploitative. Maybe some other people set up those standards that are designed to never satisfy the workers, that are designed to keep the workers uncomfortable. And in that kind of a case, you want to begin to negotiate those standards. Maybe you set up standards for yourself in some childhood event or at an early age that no matter what, I will always work hard and be dissatisfied with myself. Maybe you did some job and the parent or teacher did not acknowledge you. And you said, well, no matter how hard I will work, I will never be good enough. And if something like that is going on, then you need to deal with yourself. You have gotten stuck with an old opinion. Okay. You may say this is part of my personality, but what you may call personality is not something that's solid and fixed. It's just a bunch of habits that you have accumulated. So you have to look at that, that what's really going on. Remember, standards are not some kind of personal, internal promises you make to each other. Standards are promises human beings make to each other so we can operate well in life. And so I would look at those standards and I would say, by what standards you are thinking that you're an imposter, that you don't know what to do?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is interesting because I think that you're right. We create assessments when we're younger that turn into standards that become invisible almost. We don't like really ever question them. They're just there. And they might not be helpful anymore and they might be very outdated, but we don't question them. We just continue moving forward with them. And then we take on other standards, like societal standards, right? That we also maybe don't question, and we kind of, in a way, commit to them, but maybe we should not be committing to them. Maybe they're not standards we can fulfill and we need to negotiate. So I think now I want to move more towards like imposter syndrome at work. So let's say someone is dealing with imposter syndrome at work, and maybe they're getting very like burnt out, right? Like they're working very hard, over preparing, but still have this like nagging feeling of doubt and fraudulence. How would you suggest someone goes about dealing with this at work? Like, would should they negotiate some standards with their boss, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think the first place to begin is take a look and see that what really matters in a situation. What's important here? You know, if you don't investigate and you have a fixed commitment with yourself that no matter what, I will always be dissatisfied with my performance, or no matter what, how hard I try, you have taken your opinion to be the truth, that you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not shiny enough, then you need to deal with that. You need to have a serious conversation with yourself that this matter is not about yourself. Mm-hmm. This matter, if you really take a look, what matters in any situation? Suppose you are a hairstylist and your job is to give people haircuts. Then, yes, the matter depends whether you have done enough preparation, whether you have purchased your scissors and you have taken some training on how to cut the hair and so on and so forth. And maybe you are not an expert.
Mm.
We go back to the phenomena of arrogance, which has to do with confidence without preparation. Mm-hmm. And the phenomena of imposter syndrome, which is no confidence in spite of preparation. Maybe they both are working together. Maybe you have some arrogance that you want to operate at a master's level and you haven't even begun to learn the basics and foundations. If mm-hmm. that's what's going on with you, then take a look. Perhaps mm-hmm. you need to take smaller steps first that gains you confidence. If mm-hmm. there has been an injury to your confidence from childhood or from your background or from your last job or something like this, then take responsibility for having had some injury to confidence and ask yourself, what can I do to grow my confidence? Maybe practicing in less stressful settings. Maybe you give your family haircuts first. So there is a less chance of you screwing up in the commercial place or in the marketplace. And right. gaining the confidence that way through small steps will then go a long way. And mm-hmm. if you realize that you're not operating at an expert level, at a master level, then that's okay. Accept that and mm-hmm. commit to be a new beginner, meaning commit to learn and right. learn how to learn. Mm-hmm. If you try to learn in a bad mood that, oh, I'm just terrible, I'm so stupid, I will never conquer this. Oh, fine, I'll try to read this book and try to get better, or I try to take this training and try to get better. Your mood is not going to let you learn. You'll keep on hovering at a very basic junior level and you'll never learn advanced skills. Mm-hmm. Now the imposter syndrome becomes confirmed because you say, well, I've been trying to learn for a while and I'm in this job, but I'm not very good. So it's not simply a psychological matter. That's what I'm trying to say to you in this conversation, to you and to our listeners. That it's not simply a matter of psychology where you need to convince yourself that I am good enough. Mm-hmm. You need to take a hard look at what are you engaged in, what is required to be prepared, what are the standards required. And standards are not some kind of gospel that come from the skies that cannot be changed. Mm. Standards are agreements between human beings. So maybe there are pre-established standards, or maybe you need to be a pioneer and renegotiate some standards, or maybe some of the old standards are not working. And now there is a stuckness. Make some opinion about that.
Mm.
Then you can take some action to say, okay, here is what I need to do. Mm. Anyone that's trying to give you a simple formula for dealing with imposter syndrome, they may be actual imposters, you know, that they don't know how to do the job. And turns out the actual imposters, they are arrogant because they don't know how to do the job. And they go around telling you that they can go ahead and fix it for you.
Mm. No, this is helpful. Thank you. So you were talking about learning, becoming a new beginner, committing yourself to learn, and also about, you know, developing confidence step by step, right? Starting off with maybe for your, with your example of giving haircuts to your family members, and then going from there. My question about that is about confidence and committing yourself to learn. So then, does it all depend on you knowing everything before you go into something? Is it about that?
I think that that is another kind of a trap, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, take a look, Victoria. If you decide that I want to go into a domain and I need to learn everything before diving into a domain, let's maybe take the practice of riding a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you need to learn everything about physics of motion, about the chemistry of rubber meeting the road, your tires meeting the road? Do you need to know the laws of thermodynamics? You don't need to know all of that, okay? You don't need to know how to do a 20-mile run or ride your bike on mountains and so on and so forth. But you need some practice.
Yeah.
You need to take a mentor, that's generally for people are their parents or other. If you have not learned to ride a bike, then you identify someone who can perhaps, you know, hold your steering a little bit, or hold your bike a little, hold your seat a little bit, and let you make mistakes. Maybe you want to get some guards on your arms, so if you do fall, that's okay. Be okay to fall. If you fall to this interpretation that I need to know everything before doing something, you're paralyzed.
Also, mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little bit of arrogance, isn't it?
How so? Say more, please.
This thinking that I need to know everything before I go into something, because it's impossible to know everything before you go into something. So mm-hmm. there's sort of like arrogance that, yeah, I'm good enough that I can figure everything out before I go into something and be totally clear about what it is I need to say or do. And you're not allowing enough, a lot of space for continuous learning. And one of the best ways to learn is to make mistakes and learn from them, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a, you don't want to make mistakes so badly that it paralyzes you, this thinking of having to know it all, and it doesn't allow a lot of room to grow and to learn mm-hmm. more. Yeah.
So essentially, you're talking about the overestimation uh-huh. of your capacity to learn.
Yeah.
Where you have not really engaged in the business of learning about something in a serious way. So you don't, you have like so much, you know, the rubber has not met the road when it comes to you engaging in the domain to learn. Mm-hmm. And when you engage in something new, you're expected to make mistakes.
Right.
You're expected to have bad moods. Right. You're expected to have moods of frustration and resignation, or even the moods that, oh, they have not given me good instructions.
Right.
But if you accept yourself being a new beginner in some domain,
right.
now you can recover from this overestimation.
Right.
If you keep on overestimating, like the guy who has not done a single push-up, you know, sometimes you see these, I have seen these silly YouTube videos, shorts come up where these guys, they go ahead and they have not done a single day of boxing in their life. Maybe they have been doing some weight training and they go and challenge the professional boxers. Mm-hmm. In these videos, generally the challenger goes down within the first 30 seconds of the game. So mm-hmm. this is where, and if the challenger, if you go, you have been, maybe you're a runner or you're a weight trainer or a horse rider, like you do, Victoria, and you go ahead and challenge a boxer in a game, but you've never done boxing, and you get the first punch, and now you goes down. Now you go down. Hmm? And when you go down, now you lose all confidence in your ability ever to learn how to box. Hmm? Mm. But then you get a job anyways to be a boxer. And now you're going around saying, well, I have an imposter syndrome. No, maybe the mess that you have is more complicated. Okay. Yeah. You don't just have an imposter syndrome. Maybe you are lacking some preparation. that you need to take responsibility. Maybe you are failing to be a new beginner, where you need to take responsibility and you need to learn to be a new beginner.
No, I was going to say exactly that, that becoming a new beginner is acknowledging that I don't know everything. I'm going to make mistakes. Sometimes I'm going to feel frustrated because I feel like people haven't taught me enough. And that's okay. Everyone's going to see my mistakes, but I'm committed to learning about it. So it's not so much about what you know, but more about your commitment to learn for the sake of something, for the sake of caring or taking care of something or something like that. And when you were talking about your example about boxing, I was thinking about my experience with horseback riding and how I guess at some point I did feel like an imposter because I felt like I was dressed up. You know, I have my uniform and everything, and I've been going to this place for a while, and I do it even though I'm very scared sometimes, and I do sometimes feel like, oh, but like I don't know enough about this yet, and people are gonna like find out that I'm not a really good rider, and you know, it's just a matter of time before people realize I'm like, I'm not from this community and I don't know what I'm doing. But then I remember realizing one time, well, Vicky, you're a beginner at this. Yeah, you might be doing this for a couple of months, but it's only because you've been going in at this for like, you know, you only do it like once a week. So there's still so much for me to learn. And instead of trying to like overcompensate for this by being super confident or portraying myself as being very confident, just to acknowledge that, yeah, I'm scared. And there's a lot for me to learn, and some things I don't know about, and some things are hard for me to get, like the trot, the up and down. I've been learning for it for a while, and it's still difficult. And I have to like assess, like, okay, if that's something that is difficult for me, then I ask more help for that. But you do risk looking like an idiot.
Yeah,
I making mistakes. And for me, one of the main risks is getting hurt and get thrown off. There's a big risk, like, you know, apart from horseback riding in your work, that you could look like you don't know something, but that's okay, right?
Yes. I think that so first of all, good job in building a mood of a new beginner. And there is something, I think, Victoria, something terrible going on society-wide, where we end up creating a culture. We have created a culture, and it's definitely going on in the United States and maybe in the modern Pakistan. I've been away for quite a long time, that we tell the kids, you are the best. You can do anything. You are absolutely the best. You can do anything. You can do it right away. All you need is you need to just like show up and have courage, and you can do anything you want. It's not so. And then the kid shows up to a horse first time, and horse is scary. And then suddenly you're all well dressed up and you're like, well, I don't know how to do this. And in that moment, a certain paralysis is created, that the confidence that you had gotten, it doesn't match the reality. And now you feel like an imposter. You had the confidence, but like a bubble, it's been popped.
And now that
the bubble is popped, now you're living in this interpretation, well, I must be an imposter. What I want people to do, that if a moment comes where you have some injury to your confidence, investigate and see what's going on. Do you need to learn something? Do you need to negotiate something? Do you need to stop being too concerned about your identity and really concern about the care you're bringing to others? For example, I kept on being concerned that there isn't a doctor behind my name. How could I lead a philosophical group about life transformation and career transformation, right? And that actually delayed me a little bit at first. And even when every time I went, I was so concerned and nervous about how I'm going to show up, that you might even remember in 2020, somebody would disagree or ask a difficult question, or there's a quick, you know, like an irritated outburst comes up right away. That irritation comes from the background assumption that maybe I am not quite as prepared as I should be. You know what? Maybe you're not. And in that case, I was prepared in a certain way, but I needed further preparation. But what mattered in the moment is not so much I'm prepared or not, that tons of people that were asking me to help, they would be stuck otherwise if I did not bring the help, if I did not start the course and reduce the costs and so on and so forth. Working one-on-one with me was turning out to be too expensive. So remembering that imposter syndrome is not just about you. Imposter syndrome, the antidote lies in the care for others. And then maybe in the care for others, you really investigate, am I really well prepared or not?
Right,
yeah. Do I need more preparation? Yeah. Are there absurd standards that are set up?
Right.
You only do those things, not so much in concern of your identity. Problem is, many of the famous speakers and authors and psychologists, they are trying to help you recover from imposter syndrome by giving you more concern about your identity, that you convince yourself that you are you're already good enough and everybody else is screwed up. Or, you know, I watched some video in some moment by a political leader who is trying to teach people on how to eliminate imposter syndrome. And she goes on to say, well, you know, everybody else is screwed up. You're screwed up. And so don't worry about it. I think it creates some confidence initially, but when you will engage with the job, with the actual business, it will recreate that injury to confidence.
It'll pop again, the confidence.
It'll pop again, the confidence. So that's what I think that, you know, I think we have now maybe given the at least initial antidote that the care for others and for the sake of that care, you'll prepare yourself better. And if you are well prepared, you'll take full responsibility for your preparation. Remember, humility is not something about letting go the sense of entitlement. Okay, I think the conversation about humility is relevant here. You know, half of the humility is letting go the sense of entitlement that I should be able to do this. I'm really smart. I have had education before. I'm from such and such family, or I have always A grader kind of a person. So you have come a sense, you have some kind of sense of entitlement that you must let go. That's half of humility. That's half the antidote. The other half of the antidote is that you need to take full responsibility for the gifts you've been granted. If you don't take full responsibility for the gifts, for the skills that you have learned, you've been granted, you've been given, and you've acquired, then you are another kind of arrogant person. Then you're being a jerk that you know how to do something, you can help someone, you meet the standards, but just by being an over-concerned with your identity, you don't engage in action. So in that case, you know, stop being a jerk and take responsibility for the gifts that you need to bring to other people and investigate. And if it turns out that you're missing certain skill, for the sake of the care of the others, you commit to learning and commit to expanding.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like this, like this thing you brought up about humility. That was helpful, seeing it from this perspective. And I think this is a great place to complete. I would say one last thing. And I would say that if you are someone who is dealing with imposter syndrome, I just think it means that you're up to something big, that you are you're doing something important, and that there might be some risk of you looking like an idiot, or it might be some risk of you making a mistake. But I think that just goes to show that, you know, you are pushing yourself and you are trying to go ahead. So I think it's a good sign.
Yeah, so take responsibility.
Yeah, you just have to
don't get stuck with the interpretation. Yeah, don't get stuck like, you know, people say, well, I have...
Don't just declare it and like as a thing that you have and will always have, but investigate it, as we suggested in the podcast so far. Okay, that's it. Anything else you'd like to say, Saikun?
No, I think this has been a good exploration, good first exploration. You know, I think that many of our people in our cultures, in our workplaces, are getting very stuck. You know, you give yourself a psychological diagnosis. Well, I have an imposter syndrome, and that becomes the reason for you to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I want you to seriously investigate that, first of all, it's not really a syndrome. Even when the authors, the creators who invented it, they called it imposter phenomenon, mm-hmm. which I guess made more sense. But over time, we love to make clear problems with clear causes, with clear solutions. In this particular cause, treat it as a more of a very complex social yeah. dance or a yeah. social a disturbance or a blockage in your capacity to navigate with others. And then investigate where is that stuckness coming from? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. don't just fall to that it's all your personal fault or it's all your small self and you're not a good enough yet. And accepting that there might be some nervousness and anxiety if you're taking on a big job, or there mm-hmm. might be an old habit that you've gotten stuck with. And you yeah. accept that in care and concern for your fellow beings.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about what you know and don't know and more about your care.
Say it again. Actually, it's really important. So say that again, please.
Just as a summary of what you said, I'm saying it's less about what you know or don't know and more about what you care.
Yeah, well yeah. said. Right on. This is a...
All right. Let's complete.
Good conclusion.
Yes. Thank you, Saqib, for sharing your expertise and insights. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And with this, we conclude episode 15 of the Altward Podcast, The Antidote for Imposter Syndrome, How to Have Confidence at Work and Not Feel Like a Fake. Please tune in next time in 2 weeks in the same place and same time for more Altwork conversations. I am Victoria Relas, and this has been the Altwork Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.